see this number out tonight. And if you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the 8th Psalm, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, Psalm 8. And while you're turning to Psalm 8, we want you to know that we will be making an invitation in just a moment. And when we stand and sing, that invitation is to anyone who has never put on Christ in baptism. And while we're standing and singing, we're praying within our heart, if you've never put on Christ, that you want to do so tonight. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, that you would take that opportunity. It's an open invitation. It doesn't have to always be done at that time, but it's a convenient time to come forward and express your desires and to let us help you in any way. In Psalm 8, I want to read with you verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? The last time we spoke together on a Sunday evening, we talked in regard to what is death. And we discussed just exactly what the meaning of death is. And we brought out that physical death is a separation of the soul from the body. We recognize that in the book of James and the second chapter, in about verse 26, that James said, just as faith without works is dead, he was talking about so is the body without the spirit. That when the spirit leaves the body, the soul leaves the body, that body will no longer function. That when the inner man, that part which cannot be seen with the naked eye, when it departs, then man ceases to exist as far as on earth. And we talked about that when the body quits to function, that sometimes we have a difficult time knowing exactly when that is. That a doctor may be able to look at the vital signs, he may be able to look at a monitor, he may be able to tell when the heart stops, but nobody except God knows exactly when that soul leaves. There comes a time that we can pronounce an individual dead, and then we can say that soul is gone. But there have been times that someone's come back to life, and we say, they came back from the dead. Well, no, my friend, the soul maybe didn't leave the body. So we talked about the manner of the body, the vessel that carries the soul. Then we didn't get into so much the fact that death can also be spiritual. And we'll get into that later when we look at the Ephesian letter and the second chapter in the first three verses. And the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter talks about the second death. So we recognize that death is separation, whether it be spiritually from God or physically when the soul leaves the vessel or the body. But that brings up a thought in our study. The last time we discussed in regard to death and life hereafter, we brought to our attention what our attitude should be towards death. And we observe some of the attitudes that people have and the different teachings that people hold. We talked about some that just deny that death occurs, that it's just in your mind. And we talked about some who just try to ignore it, don't want to face reality that one day they will die. Then there are some who say it doesn't matter when you die, no matter how you live, you're going to go to heaven. There is no hell. And then we talked about how the Christian faces death and prepares for that day. Now, as we go along, as I've already said, there may be some questions you may have that I may not be able to answer. But we will dig deep into God's Word and see how far we get tonight in this second study. I want us to go back to the question we started with in the book of Psalm and the eighth Psalm in verse 4. In Psalm 8 and verse 4, look at the question David asked. David said, what is man? Now underscore that. That's an important question. What is man? That's a good question to begin our study tonight. What is man? If someone was to ask you, what is man? What would your reply be? I believe that's a very serious question. If you go back to the book of Genesis and the second chapter, notice, if you will, that man is the creation of God, the beginning of man. And to my knowledge, there's only one explanation to what man is, and that's the fact that man is God's creation. If you look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." That is the first mention of man. That is the first account of man. There's no account of man up until God said, "Let us make man." So man is made in the image of God. Then if you take your Bible, look in Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse 7. In verse 7, the divine record said, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Notice the three things: the soul of man, the body of man, and the breath of man. And notice that when breath leaves the body is dead. God made man. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So where God is, there is life. But when there is the absence of God, there is death. So I recognize that spiritual death is absence of God in my life. It's a person who makes a choice of abandoning God and not allowing God in their life. That's what hell is. Hell is an absence of God, eternity without God's presence. The feeling and unpleasantries of death felt for all eternity. In hell, the sting of death never leaves. But here we talk about the body, and we have the inward part of man, or the soul of man, and there is the life of man. Now, we've already established, any time in the Bible you find the word soul or spirit, it can be used interchangeably. And we must make sure we keep it in the proper context, whether it's talking about the life or whether it's talking about the eternal part of man. But now then, I want you to think about how we can come to a study of that. Open your Bible to the book of Acts in the 14th chapter. In the book of Acts and the 14th chapter, notice that at this time, it talks about that they poisoned their mind, that the Gentiles were stirring up the people to poison their mind. The word mind there in the original is soul. In Acts 14:12, he talks about the soul. That is one way the word soul can be used. It can be stirred up. It can be aroused. Then if you take your Bible in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, Paul said, "My spirit prays." So the word soul and spirit can be used interchangeably. It can either be the inward part of man that is invisible, that is eternal, or it can just be referring to life. Open your Bible, if you will, most kindly, to the book of Luke in the first chapter. And you remember in the book of Luke in the first chapter, a great statement made by a great woman when Mary says in verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Spirit and soul both mentioned. All of that there, though, is referring to the inner person. She's talking about that which is eternal. She's talking about that which abides in man. Now, tonight, I've never seen my soul, and I've never seen your soul. But I'll tell you, my friend, I believe in the soul just as much as I believe in heaven. Just because I haven't seen it does not mean it doesn't exist. Because once the soul leaves the body, what happens? Death occurs to man. So then, in our study, I come to recognize what is important is that I understand what the body is. And then, if you take your Bible, look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And when you come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice, if you will, what Paul says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he talks about sanctify yourself completely. And that word sanctify means set apart. And look at what he says in verse 23. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body," he mentions all three, "be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And notice he said the spirit, the soul, and the body. Let the whole man be sanctified. You know what the body of man is? It's the temple of God. Inside the body is the inward part called the soul, and we also have the breath. Sometimes we talk about someone knocked the breath out of us, but he didn't knock the soul out of you. So we need to remember that body, soul, and spirit, sometimes the word soul and spirit are used interchangeably. And we have to be able to keep that in a proper context. But then if you have your Bible, if you will, look in 1 Peter chapter 3. And when you come into 1 Peter chapter 3, look, if you will, at verse 20. In verse 20, notice the statement, "Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering walked in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." Now there it's talking about life. Eight people, eight bodies. All of the individual was saved. Why? Because God saved them from the water. Now then, I want us to stop and think about what Jesus expects us to understand about the eternal part of man. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 10th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 10th chapter, look with me, if you will, at verse 28. In Matthew 10, 28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." That's the eternal part. "But rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, look at what he says and stop and think for a moment. Who can kill the body? Just about anybody. Well, now, if a man comes up and he causes my body to cease to breathe, and he takes my breath, and he takes my life, then I have a physical death. But notice Jesus said, don't fear that man, because what can he do? The worst he can do is take your physical life. But I'll tell you what he cannot do. He can't kill your soul. The only one who can send the soul into torment is the Lord. No, man can kill the body. He can take life out of us, but he can't take the soul. You watch the evening news at night and you'll see where someone's murdered sometimes up in Nashville. And you think about how many people have been shot and how many people have been killed. What does it mean? It means they killed the body. They took their earthly life. But did they take their soul and spirit? No. No, no one has that ability. No man can take the eternal part. So that brings up a question. Who can take the soul? Who can? I'll tell you who can. God can. Now take note that phrase soul and body. We'll come back to that later in study. I think there's a point we often overlook. What is man? Man is body, soul, and spirit. That is if you believe the Bible. Now, if you believe the theory of evolution, what is he? He's just something that happened. He doesn't have a soul or spirit. Now, a dog has a life force. A dog has breath. And when a dog dies, that's it. A dog doesn't have an eternal being. And that's what the atheist view is. That when you die, that's all there is. But I'll tell you, my friend, when you look at the Bible, you begin to understand that man is different than animal, that man has a moral obligation. Why? Because he has a soul. He's able to determine right from wrong. A dog or an animal acts on instincts. Now, you can train a dog. You can train an animal. But it still acts on instincts. It doesn't act upon thinking about what is right or wrong. Now, I want us to understand that man, because he has a soul, that he understands the difference. We can come to a moral conclusion. So that brings up a thought in our study. What happens to the soul when a man dies? And I'll tell you something, there's a lot of controversy and trouble, and there needs to be study about it. The first thing I want us to understand is that when you think about the soul, first thing is you have the abode of the dead. And that's just referred to as Hades. Remember in Psalm 16:10, when it talked about Jesus and it prophesied about Jesus, notice what the psalmist said about it in Psalm 16. In Psalm 16, verse 10, he said, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." That's what Peter was referring to in Acts chapter 2 and verses 31 and 32. Jesus never saw corruption. He went to the grave, but he never saw the abode of the dead. Now look in Psalm 49:15, like man does. Look at Psalm 49:15. He said, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Now that's where all men go when they die. They go to the abode of the dead. They're not just out here in the cemetery, but the soul has gone on. What's happened to the body? It's been buried. What's happened to the soul? Well, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, notice God does something with the soul. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, then the dust, that's the earthly body, will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now, man was made of dust. You're going to go back to dust. I don't care if you're cremated or buried out here at Hillcrest or if you're buried at Mount Olive or Rock Church Cemetery or anywhere. Wherever you're buried, the body's going to go back to dust. But what about the spirit? The spirit, immediately at death, goes back to God. Whether that spirit be good or evil, all spirits go back to God. They're in His hands. Who gave man a soul? God did. And God is going to take it back. When it's in the hands of God, He's going to place it. And He's going to do with it what He sees. So what is God going to do with the soul? Well, you've got to think about the righteous and the wicked. Notice, if you will, in your Bible, that both spirits go back to God, and God places the spirit until the body. That's not the judgment day. Just because He's placed the soul, God has the right to place the soul wherever He wants. And you'll find that for some, the righteous go to be with Christ. You remember what Paul said in Philippians 1:23? That he would like to depart and be with Christ. So when a righteous man dies, his spirit goes back to God. And Paul says, I want to be with Christ. Now where Christ is, that is where Paul said he was going to go. Now we'll leave it right there for just a second. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke in the 23rd chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 23rd chapter, you remember the thief on the cross. And you remember what Jesus said to him. Jesus said today in verse 43, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, where did Paul say he wanted to be? With Christ. Now then, where is Christ? Paradise. Wherever paradise is where Christ is. That is where the thief was going to go. And if you turn in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verses 2 through 4, Paul talked about being called up into the third heaven. And they uses the word paradise in verse 4. It's the same word. Someone say they called up to heaven and came back with a message. Paul said he was called up to the third heaven and wasn't allowed to express what he saw. But he was called up into paradise. Wherever Christ is paradise. Now where is Christ? He's at the right hand of God. So you know where the soul is? The soul of the righteous is in heaven right now. Open your Bible to the Revelation letter, and you can see in the 20th chapter, when John makes the statement, I saw the souls of those who've been beheaded for the cause of Christ. Notice what he said, I saw the soul. He didn't see the body. Why? The body's still in the grave. And when he had that revelation, he saw the souls crying out, how long? So thus far, I recognize that the righteous will be going to a place of paradise. The soul is resting. The soul is waiting. The soul is conscious. What about the body? The body's asleep. But now what about the wicked? Well, if you look in Luke 16, 22 and 23, it talks about torments or Hades. And the word Hades there in the Greek is translated Tartarus. And that means a place of punishment. It's a different place than the grave out here. It's a place of torments. The righteous are being comforted with Christ. The wicked are being tormented. And that much I can understand. Now, what part's being tormented? Not the body, but the soul. The body has gone back to dust. The soul of man has gone back to God, and God had the right to place it. Now, I'll tell you, that's important for me to understand. There will be a day when He comes again and body and soul and spirit are reunited, and then you're going to have the judgment day. But God has the right to place the soul of man wherever He desires. But that brings up another thought in our study. And it's a very important thought. When you think about the fact that God has placed the soul, have you ever thought about what happens at death? Have you ever thought about when the wicked man dies, there's not a whole lot of comfort. But when the righteous man dies, have you ever thought that though we don't see it, angels come and take the body or the soul, the spirit, to the place of paradise? I was with Robert Jackson when he died. And I'll never forget thinking those angels have come to take his soul. I didn't get back from preaching the night my mother died, but when I fell down at her body, I thought, I know those angels came to take her soul. And that gave me great comfort. That in the midst of all the agony of what I've lost, that though I couldn't see it, their souls have been taken to a place of paradise. Isn't that comforting? I think about babies who maybe died in the womb. I once did a funeral in Dixon County, Tennessee, where a woman had lost her baby at about 6 or 7 months. And I talked about David saying, baby can't come back to me, but I can go to the baby. And I said, won't it be wonderful that though we don't know what we'll look like in heaven or what body we'll have, that in heaven you'll get a hold of that baby. Because as soon as there is conception, there's a soul placed in that body. And I thought about how many are in heaven and what it will be like to be there. And I believe that when you're there, we're going to know one another. I believe that the soul is conscious. I believe that when you get to heaven, you're going to know who is there. It says in the book of Matthew in the 8th chapter and verse 11, you're going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The souls are alive. They're awake. And I believe that we're going to recognize one another. Someone says, well, what if my loved one don't make it? You know what? I leave that up to God. If God can take away the tears and the pain, God can make it where I won't miss someone. And we need to focus on making sure that we are right with God. Because I'll tell you something. If you miss heaven, what else is there? And you think about a new body. I look out and I see some, and some of your bodies are starting to hurt a lot. Can you imagine having a body that doesn't hurt? Can you imagine being in heaven and never growing old? When we first moved to Shev, Sam looked at me one day and asked me a question that I'll never forget. Sam said, Daddy, when he was doing his treatments, will there be cystic fibrosis in heaven? I said, no, sir. He said, I can't wait. You know what a problem with a lot of us is? We just don't think of heaven. We just don't think about what it'll be like to be with God. Correct. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, we want you to think about the fact that you can be made right with God, have your sins washed away, and come forward and be baptized. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite.